Upheaval. Breaking Point. Chapter 28. Laws and Punishments.
The arrival of both Prince Tirado and King Fenrir to the battlefield brought mixed reactions to the ponies at Bastion City. As any settlement at the Barrierlands would be, Bastion City was honored to receive its prince, and, at the same time, terrified of the implications. It had been centuries since Tirado last entered a battle personally, but his last battle for Fangbreaker Fortress still lived in infamy among the city's records. Ponies of the Barrierlands often referred to the unyielding Grey Sentinel when referring to their prince as testament to his role in protecting Equestria. Harbinger of War, however, was just as accurate. The Grand Meeting Hall was easily converted to Tirado's audience hall after the morning's incident. Inside, he stood at the center of the hall, with Luna by his side. Also part of the meeting was Commander Dreadstep, leader of Fangbreaker's survivors, Mayor Snowstream, the leader of Bastion City, Commander Galefeather, leader of Bastion City's garrison, and, curiously enough, recruit Twilight Sparkle.
"Our supplies will hold us well into spring, Your Highness," Snowstream reported, "even with the additional ponies from Fangbreaker."
"That may be because we are lacking in defenders, Your Highness," Galefeather added. "Even with the drafts, we will be sorely pressed to deal with a Wolven army this size."
"I had expected that the city closest to Wolvengard would have more soldiers at hoof," Tirado said.
Galefeather bowed low in response.
"Forgive me, Your Highness. Yearly recruitment has been on a decline for the past few years."
"Convenient timing,"
Tirado muttered.
"I'll leave the city's maintenance to the two of you. Keep those supplies guarded and the city safe. I don't want to hear about some accidental fires or contamination."
"Yes, Your Highness."
Tirado waved a hoof to dismiss the two. They bowed low and left the audience hall. With them gone, he turned his attention to Dreadstep.
"And there I was just days ago telling you how I don't need to be constantly breathing down your neck,"
Tirado said.
"Sorry about that, Dreadstep. That was about as idiotic as asking what could possibly go wrong."
"I accept full responsibility for Fangbreaker's loss, Your Highness," Dreadstep said as he knelt. "I am ready to pay with my life."
"And what could I possibly do with your dead body?"
Tirado asked.
"You wouldn't even make good catapult ammunition."
Dreadstep didn't reply.
"Enough theatrics. I'm not going to kill you, Dreadstep. Now what's this I hear about saboteurs?"
"Special Operations has already started cracking down, Your Highness," Dreadstep reported. "We've killed several of their cells and captured some of them."
"What have you learned?"
Tirado asked. "The traitors still have more cells within the city. From what we've gathered, this is another Black Rose rebellion." Tirado still held the strand of hair in his hoof. He put it close to his nose and breathed in. He could smell perfume, a light scent of windflowers growing on the peaks of the Western Barrierland's verdant mountains. It was his favorite scent. Of course, she knew that.
"Not just another Black Rose rebellion,"
he said.
"We're dealing with Black Rose herself."
"Your Highness?"
Dreadstep looked surprised.
"Black Rose, as in the same Black Rose you killed centuries ago?"
"Yes, that same Black Rose,"
Tirado replied.
"It's not exactly a popular name."
"I beg your pardon, Your Highness, but isn't she dead?"
"She was,"
Tirado said darkly.
"But the signs are here, and I know her handiwork. Keep your eyes open, Dreadstep. Ensure the loyalty of every pony investigating these traitors. I want them rooted out and hanged before they get out of control. Treat this matter as urgently as you will those dogs just outside our gates."
"I shall, Your Highness," Dreadstep said with determination. He felt as if he had been given his second and last chance to prove that his prince's confidence in him was not misplaced.
Inwardly, he swore that if he failed again, he would hurl himself at the Wolven army and die fighting for expiation.
"Big brother, who is this Black Rose?" Luna asked.
From her spot, Twilight's ears perked at the name. She also wanted to know more about this Black Rose. Though there was really no way to confirm it, she did have a strong feeling that the name fitted the mysterious unicorn mare she encountered on that rooftop. Tirado let out a sigh.
"To put it simply, Black Rose was my Twilight Sparkle."
Twilight raised her gaze reflexively. She looked to see if Tirado was joking, but the gray alicorn's face was more melancholic than playful. Even Commander Dreadstep leaned forward to hear well. He only knew Black Rose through old history books,
To hear the prince's own account would be an honor.
What do you mean, Big Brother? Luna asked in shock.
The analogy isn't perfect, of course, but it's pretty close. A long time ago, I discovered a unicorn mare with a ridiculous amount of potential. I took her under my wing and she became my protege. Does that story sound familiar, Twilight Sparkle?
Twilight nodded. That was her story. So this Black Rose was a close pony to Prince Tirado.
Potential isn't good enough a word,
Tirado continued.
Everything that she did perfectly. Every battle was a victory. Every campaign was a success. She had the Ursins on the retreat, the Wolven too scared to attack, and the Ophidites slithering into hiding. I was happy to delegate authority to her. At her prime, she ruled almost all of the barrier lands in my name.
That sounds too good to be true, Luna said. Twilight couldn't help but nod in agreement.
All good things come to an end,
Tirado said.
Black Rose eventually decided that she didn't like Celestia's division. She expressed her disagreement, and I punished her. Just like Twilight Sparkle, am I correct?
Twilight nodded again, but she could sense that there was a much more complicated tale behind Tirado's simplified words. What had happened between the two of them? What exactly did Black Rose try to do?
If things were that simple, we wouldn't be dealing with her now, Luna said.
Like Twilight, she also saw that there were more things lurking underneath Tirado's story.
Things got complicated,
Tirado said softly. His casual tone had disappeared, and his melancholy deepened.
I had let Black Rose get too close. I trusted her too much, and allowed her to access knowledge that she shouldn't have. The resulting mess shames me to this day. I had to put a stop to it. Unlike Celestia, I don't go for exiles and imprisonments. There was only one way to put an end to the matter.
You killed her, Luna said. But she survived that somehow.
And now she's back,
Tirado said.
If she intends to push through with her plans from before, then her objective will be Celestia.
What does she want with the princess?
Twilight asked. A stern look from Tirado told her that he didn't appreciate the interruption.
Black Rose wants Equestria not just united, but united under her. To accomplish that, she plans to slay Celestia and absorb her power.
That's impossible, Luna said indignantly. No mortal pony can hope to take on Big Sister. Just even thinking it.
She stomped her hoof on the ground in anger. Twilight quivered with suppressed anger as well. Kill Princess Celestia? This Black Rose was deluded, but even a deluded mad pony had to be stopped. For the first time in her life, Twilight found herself thinking that destruction was the only fate for a particular pony. This Black Rose just seemed too dangerous to simply exile or imprison. She wondered if even death could stop her, when it had failed once already.
What will you do now? Luna asked. You can't allow this Black Rose to even try.
Don't tell me things I already know,
Tirado said menacingly.
I will deal with Black Rose, just as I have dealt with her in the past. But first, I'm going to settle two matters right now.
Tirado's horn glowed with gray light as he unleashed his magic. Twilight gasped as she found herself enveloped in the prince's telekinetic grip and then lifted high into the air.
Big Brother, what are you doing? Luna asked in surprise.
What's the matter?
Tirado asked Twilight.
Celestia's gifted protege should easily break my magic, right? You certainly had no problems with my memory lock.
Twilight flailed helplessly in the air for about a half a minute before Tirado dumped her unceremoniously on the ground.
Apparently my analysis isn't entirely true,
Tirado continued.
You can't break my magic, Twilight Sparkle. At least, not without help. You had a trigger that let you break my memory lock. What was it, and who gave it to you?
Twilight froze. The trigger. Vanguard Clash's Legionnaire emblem. She had almost forgotten about it. She couldn't tell Princess Celestia about it, and she certainly couldn't tell Prince Tirado.
I can't tell you, Your Highness, she answered.
Why not? You have a working mouth, don't you?
Tirado asked. His expression darkened in annoyance.
So much for ponies being creatures of honesty, then.
I was the one who told her, Big Brother, Luna interrupted.
And how did you know where Twilight had been and what she had been up to? Celestia wouldn't have gone around blabbing about it. Obviously, it was because Twilight showed you something she found.
Torado turned towards the commander of Fangbreaker's defenders.
Dreadstep, bring me the ponies who came in contact with Twilight Sparkle the first time she came to my realm, he ordered.
He quickly amended that order, however.
The ones still alive, that is.
Commander Dreadstep bowed and then hurriedly left the meeting hall. From her spot, Twilight quivered and closed her eyes, hoping that Commander Dreadstep would somehow make a mistake and bring in a bunch of ponies who had nothing to do with her. Several minutes passed before Dreadstep returned with both Vanguard Clash and Scarlet Rabbit. The two stepped forward and knelt before their prince. Torado looked them over before speaking.
Let me get to the point. Which one of you gave Twilight Sparkle the trigger to break my memory lock?
Twilight watched the two helplessly, her heart sinking to her stomach. Scarlet Rabbit looked confused. He clearly had no idea what was going on and what Torado was asking about. Vanguard, on the other hoof, had no such problems.
It was me, Your Highness,
he replied without any hesitation.
I gave her my Legionnaire emblem to help her remember.
The upper corners of Torado's lips curved slightly.
Lies from the Chosen, honesty from a pony outside Celestia's realm. How about that? Take off the chaperon and tell me your name and position, Legionnaire.
Vanguard quickly did as he was told. The black metal chaperon fell to the floor with a clang.
Captain Vanguard Clash of the Northern Equestrian Legion, Special Operations, 3rd Squad,
he said proudly. Torado's eyes narrowed as he got a closer look at Vanguard.
I recognize you, Vanguard Clash. You're Sharp Fang's Colt. I spared your grandfather's life, and he repaid my trust by turning into a murdering rapist. Now you've compounded some interest in that payment with betrayal. Ah, a pity, too. That Nightsteel full-plate barding you have on means you've accomplished something truly meritorious for my legion.
Twilight stood up and stepped forward to protest.
Your Highness!
Quiet!
Torado boomed, causing the floor and walls to reverberate.
You may be Celestia's favored student in the Heartland, Twilight Sparkle, but you're a bottom-rung legionnaire here. Now sit still and let me lay down my laws.
Twilight fell on her tail, stunned and shaking. Her protest was completely driven from her head by the blast of sound. The entire hall fell silent at Torado's thunderous outburst. After a few seconds, he spoke again.
Tell me, Vanguard Clash, how is spreading information about the Barrier Lands to the Heartland classified as a crime, and what is the appropriate punishment?
Spreading information about the Barrier Lands to the Heartland is considered treason, Your Highness,
Vanguard answered without fail.
To be punished by death through hanging.
Smart boy,
Torado remarked. He turned his attention to Dreadstep.
What are you waiting for? Hang him.
Hanging?
Scarlet Rabbit said in disbelief. He flew up and was about to charge when Vanguard caught him and forced him down to a kneeling position.
Hanging? Then you'd better hang me too if the captain's hanging.
Your Highness, Dreadstep protested. Vanguard Clash is one of our most reliable legionnaires. Perhaps...
He made a clear confession, and the law is even clearer,
Torado interrupted.
I didn't open this matter for debate, Dreadstep.
Big brother, let us hear him out at least, Luna protested.
Fine. Explain yourself, Vanguard Clash. Why did you give her a trigger to break my spell?
I have no excuses, Your Highness,
Vanguard said stoically.
I gave her the trigger so that she may remember everything that happened to her.
At least some pony is trying to make this easy,
Torado remarked.
Your Highness, please,
Twilight cried out. She stood in front of Vanguard's kneeling form, her forelegs outstretched in a futile attempt to defend him from Torado.
There's no pony more loyal to you than Vanguard. He doesn't deserve to die for what he did. Did you do it to break my sister's barrier because you opposed the division?
Luna asked desperately.
No,
Vanguard replied.
I did it for Twilight Sparkle's sake. That's all.
This pony is loyal to you, Luna told her brother. The battle will be hard enough without us hobbling ourselves like this.
Torado didn't reply at once. Instead, he looked over Vanguard, who did not so much as flinch from the scrutiny.
I will accept that what you did was a horribly stupid mistake, Vanguard Clash,
he finally said.
One born of temporary insanity. I can relate to that.
He glanced at Luna.
I will consider the facts that the damage did not spread beyond Twilight Sparkle and her friends, and that you intended the damage not to spread, that my little sister has some interest in keeping you alive, and that we do need every loyal pony. In light of all these things, I am compelled to change your sentence from a traitor's death by hanging to a slap on the fetlock public flogging.
A collective sigh of relief escaped Luna, Twilight, and Dreadstep.
60 lashes will do.
Your Highness, that is still a death sentence. A much more painful death sentence, if I may add.
Dreadstep protested.
True,
Toronto continued.
40 is the limit, so we don't kill them. I will allow Twilight Sparkle to take as many as she wants from those 60 and apply them to herself.
He raised an eyebrow as his gaze swept his audience.
Is that satisfactory?
He asked as he stopped on Twilight.
I will take half, Twilight replied without any hesitation.
There you go,
Toronto said to Dreadstep.
30 each, a slap on the fetlock for treason. Now get out there and enforce my will.
With one more bow, almost every pony left the meeting hall, leaving Luna alone with her brother.
Is there no mercy at all in you, big brother? She asked.
That was mercy,
Toronto replied.
They're alive, aren't they? You have to tamper your mercy with some sort of justice, or you'll never get any laws respected. Now it's time I settle the other matter. You've done plenty in my realm, Luna. You secured Twilight Sparkle and her friends, you've made an attempt to negotiate with Fenrir, and you blotted out the full moon to suppress the enemy. There can only be more fighting at this point, and I can't have you involved in this. It's time you went back to the Heartland.
What? Luna asked in surprise. No, I can still do much here. I can fight.
If you so much as kill a single Wolven, Celestia will never forgive me.
Why does she get to decide what I can and can't do?
You are in my realm, Luna,
Toronto said with a glare.
Here you will respect my decisions. If you want to help, blot out the full moon from the Heartland. I need you to stay by Celestia's side, in case Black Rose tries anything.
No!
Don't argue,
Toronto roared. He quickly checked himself and lowered his voice.
I need to be assured that Celestia has a sibling by her side. I can't do my duty while constantly having to worry about her.
Then go to her side, Luna insisted. Or better yet, have her come here and stay by yours.
You already know why I can't do that,
Toronto said softly.
You say that Big Sister won't forgive you if you let me fight, but the truth is that she's never forgiven you for going out to fight yourself. She's afraid of what you've become. Isn't that why you never visit her in the Heartland?
Toronto didn't reply. Luna's eyes widened with sudden realization.
Is that why you let Black Rose get so close?
Not another word, Luna, or I will show you what exactly I've become.
Luna left her brother alone in the silent meeting hall.
How can we mend the rift between the Heartland and the Barrier Lands if we can't mend the rift between you two?
The walk from the Grand Meeting Hall to the main plaza was a short one. A short one, at least, for most ponies who had the leisure of not expecting something horrible once they reached their destination. For Vanguard Clash and Twilight Sparkle, the walk felt like a humiliating parade that had no end in sight.
30 lashes,
Vanguard said incredulously.
30 lashes for something you had no part in.
Walking right next to Vanguard on her way to the main plaza, Twilight Sparkle frowned at him in response.
No pardon? She asked indignantly. What was that for Twilight Sparkle's sake you were talking about? The last time I checked, I'm Twilight Sparkle.
Vanguard shook his head. He had been stripped of his barding, which Scarlet had taken for safekeeping. The Red Pegasus had been overjoyed that his captain wasn't going to hang, and had flown off, promising to have a bottle of booze ready to help with the pain. Around him, the guards that accompanied them made no reaction towards the bickering between him and Twilight. A group of curious citizens was now following the odd procession down the street.
At least change it to 20 for you and 40 for me,
he said.
I've been under the whip before, while your back is as fresh as a newborn's.
It's 30 for the both of us, Twilight insisted.
She put on a brave front, but the thought of what was going to happen made her quail inside. Vanguard was right. She had never been whipped. She had never even thought that such a thing could happen. Now she was going to take 30 lashes in a single day. Part of her wanted to back out and just pray that Vanguard could take 60 lashes. Another wanted to take his offer and have the number reduced. Between the two, a third one remained steadfast.
30, she thought. 30 is fair.
The two of them stood at the edge of the city's main plaza. By the time they got there, they were already being followed by a crowd.
25-35,
Vanguard suggested.
Stop haggling like you're buying vegetables,
Twilight whispered harshly. Vanguard's offers were weakening her resolve. She had to stop him before he succeeded.
She looked over the crowd and wondered if any of her friends were going to watch. It's 30-30, and that's final.
They were led to a spot with several wooden posts jutting from the ground, and then prodded to take their positions. Both of them were given coiled bits of rope. Taking her cue from Vanguard, Twilight placed hers between her jaws, trying to ignore the thought of other ponies having done the same to the unwashed piece of rope she was biting. She reared up and hugged the pole, as Vanguard did just a few feet away, and swallowed as she saw a pair of Earth Pony stallions walk into position while holding coiled whips. Two more ponies came up and bound their forelegs securely to the poles. The time between her biting into the rope and waiting for the first lash, and the actual lash, stretched out to breathless eternity. Just as Twilight was starting to think there was something wrong, the first lash struck her between the shoulders. The suddenness of the strike nearly made her drop the rope. The searing, white-hot pain that lanced through her back buckled her legs. Tears sprang from her eyes almost immediately after she felt the pain. She nearly fell to the ground, but she remembered that that was just one. There were 29 to go. She glanced over at Vanguard just as he took his first. He clamped hard on his rope, but his face didn't even change expression when he was struck. Twilight braced herself just in time for the second strike. Two, she thought. A third one struck in rapid succession. She felt something trickle down her back. The fourth one struck low. Through the haze of pain, she realized that it had struck her cutie mark. Were the star symbols going to be forever marred by a scar? The fifth and sixth strikes burned out the thought from her mind, along with anything else she could think of. By the tenth, or at least she thought it was the tenth, she was no longer sure if she was counting right. She cried out between her teeth. Her jaws were clenched so tightly that she feared that the bones would shatter. The pain sapped the strength from her forelegs. There was a fire raging on her back, an unrelenting blaze that tore off shreds of her skin and flung them away with smoking hooked claws. Her forelegs let go at one point, but the ropes held her in place securely. Her vision dimmed, and she gazed at Vanguard weakly, her mind still making futile attempts to recall just how many she had received and how many more were coming. The lashing continued anyway.